We are very much in-house. Sistombi, Sispuzelwa, we good to go?
Yes, Chairperson.
Dokie. Right, colleagues, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Congratulations to the box, although it almost killed us. All these 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. But I think a brilliant display of rugby nonetheless. So,
Recording in progress.
congratulations to the box. Colleagues, this morning we are going to be.
Ukhala
Ngikhalela into yokuthi the these 1 point wins azosivula
landoni.
ngenhliziyo.
They are driving a point, don't worry.
That's a good one. That's all right. No, but now it was a brilliant game
But
of rugby.
good morning, chairman,
All
colleagues.
right. Colleagues, we're gonna be getting a presentation two presentations today from our research team on the audit outcomes. We've split it into two groups. So I think they will take us through what is currently available to us. And just like we did with the ministers, first come, first serve. So Retabile will be first off the bat because God has first. And then Amanda will come in after, and then we can discuss and see how we take it forward for the purposes of prioritization. We thought we needed to just drill into it and see what's there. So, Ritabile, we are in your capable hands. There's a hand. I can't see whose hand that is. Babusom.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, colleagues. And I think you have captured in your beginning is the main challenge I have for what you are dealing with. I don't know how we are going to handle it. Is that the consolidated report of the auditor general on the PFMA is only going to be tabled on the 29th of November to Parliament. And then how are we going to then drag those who are affected by this? I know that there's a currently some discussions taking place in various portfolio committees. Which related to what is this thing? The triple I processes. I don't know how we're going to treat this kind of information while as yet there is has been no report to even to the Minister of Finance, to the Presidency, and to the Cabinet for consolidation in as far as the outcomes of the audit generally. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, Chair. I'm just thinking aloud.
No, but so what this is just an analysis of what's already before Parliament. So it does the AG's opportunity, which you will be driving, of the submission of the consolidated report will continue. But this is just to enable us in-house to have a view of what is already before Parliament and see if there are matters that need our attention. So we are not going to go past the submission of the AG because some of the departments and entities have already submitted There are letters before the speaker which are explaining why submissions have not been done. But we need to look at what is already before us. And by the time the AG report comes, we will be somewhat in a position to compare and contrast what we have. So this is an analysis really of what has been submitted before Parliament currently. So I think there's very little that will what you might call very little that will change in our program, but we thought let's look at what is before us now. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does, Chair, but my main question is that looking into it, then what are we going to do of immediate when we have looked into it? What's your thinking on it? What is it that we have to then do of immediate when we have dealt with it? For example, if you look into the current failures on submissions and the late audits and all that kind of creeping scope of work, things which are happening currently, what do we have to do about it? Because our normal practice is for engagement beyond the acceptance, general acceptance of the consolidated report by Parliament on the actual tabling of such. I don't know.
No, I think because ordinarily hearings have at times been scheduled even before we've received consolidated report, we have, for example, engaged with departments whom have not submitted prior on time. So I think the processes can run to my call almost simultaneously. I think we will receive the AG's report, but also noting that the AG's report is coming to Parliament some almost 8, 10 days before Parliament rises for the year. And we are also looking at a very brief first term in 2024. The draft that I saw, SONA, is in the second week of Feb, and then sort of wrap up. Then there are issues we need to wrap up on, and we also need to consolidate the legacy report as well. Sister Stando has been attending meetings of the section guiding how the legacy reports need to be done. So we also do need to sort of close up our own work as a committee. I think what we can do is that once the AG's report has arrived, we will look at the issues that emanate from there. And what we receive today and what we receive from there will be the basis of prioritization for what needs our attention moving forward as we wrap up the term. So may
No,
I beg you that?
it's fine, Chair. Let's just keep that in mind. I think let's
No,
just
of
keep that in
course.
mind. Yeah, as we receive this kind of a report, let's keep in mind that the actual blueprint for for parliamentary processing. While these other things happen in-house, there's this element of it that we must have a clear outlook as to how the eye of the Auditor General views the consolidation in as far as the behavioral patterns, in as far as the audits on fiscus is concerned, and our own drive into ensuring a standard form of performance on the areas that relate to our own attention in terms of accountability, deal with those within that frame. I was raising it, so we take that into cognizance when we deal with this kind of a report. I've looked into it, the two reports. I think they've done a very good work in terms of the scope, and something which we should allow the exposure out there in terms of what other colleagues would have to assimilate out of it. They think the research unit has done a very good piece of work on such in well in absence of that consolidated report. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you. I think we will definitely keep that in mind and proceed further once the AG has tabled and briefed Parliament accordingly. Ritabile, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, colleagues. Maybe just a short proof of life. I am going to begin to share my presentation.
Is that proof of life?
Did you not see it, Honorable, from you? Yes, the proof of life.
Okay.
Thank you. Honorable members, today we're just going to take you through a summary of the 2022-23 audit outcomes and financial performance of the national departments and public entities. I'll just be scrolling because in full screen mode, it's a bit difficult to read. So I'm not sure if members prefer the full screen mode or if I can just scroll through the document. So I'll just briefly take you through all the departments. And we have consolidated, we have put together this presentation because departments are required to table their annual reports, annual financial statements, as well as their audit reports in Parliament within 6 months of the reporting period or the audit report. And we do recognize that, however, there is that provision for departments who are not able to meet that 6 month threshold to submit a letter to Parliament, as Section 65(2) of the PFMA prescribes. I think what's important to note in this particular audit is that National Treasury has issued Instruction Note 4, which deals with the compliance reporting framework related to unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This was issued on the 23rd of December 2022 to be in effect on the 3rd of January 2023. So, among the effects of this framework is that the irregular expenditure, as well as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that has been incurred in previous financial years and not addressed, is no longer disclosed in the notes of the annual financial statements. So we won't find it in that section of the annual financial statements if it relates to prior period. Only the current year's figures and the prior year, meaning the current year and the year before, will be the ones that are disclosed in the annual financial statements. So all the movements with respect to those expenditures will now be disclosed in the other information part of the annual report. So that speaks to any irregular or fruitless and wasteful expenditure that's been condoned, recoverable, removed, written off, under assessment, or under determination. So we just need to bear in mind that that has had a significant impact in the reporting, especially in this current financial year that we're looking at. So for ease of flow, we've grouped these departments and the reporting entities according to their clusters. So like Chairperson has said, the purpose of this analysis, we're just providing an overview of the outcomes and in an effort, to assist the committee in assessing the areas of prioritization of these annual reports. So the first department under this cluster is the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. I'll just go very high level. This department didn't table the annual report in Parliament yet, and they did submit a letter in line with Section 65(2) of the PFMA on the reasons why they were not able to table yet. However, if we look at the reporting entities of the department, the majority of the reporting entities did receive unqualified audit opinions, with the exception of the Agricultural Research Council, which received yet another qualified audit opinion. The basis of the audit opinion for the ARC was on property, plant, and equipment, revenue from exchange transactions, irregular expenditure. So most of these is instances where the AG was basically not able to find, sufficient evidence that the way they accounted for these items is correct, as well as the lack of proper accounting records. So that's the theme across most of the qualifications that we will see, where the AG was not able to receive appropriate information in order to confirm that processes were followed duly. So just like I said, this is just very high level. The iNgonyama Trust Board maintained unqualified. The National Agricultural Marketing Council has also received unqualified findings, and its recurring themes always on non-compliance with legislation. The Perishable Products Export Control Board has received unqualified audit with no findings. This entity is, however, not audited by the AG. I think I'd written somewhere in the introduction that some of the entities are not audited by the Auditor General of South Africa. We've also decided just to include, just for information purposes, the financial information of the entities, although we won't go deep into that. But if there's any particular thing that members would maybe want us to zoom into, we are open to doing that. So we've just included, did they run a surplus or deficit in the period? The irregular expenditure we reported on what they've incurred in the current year, as well as the accrued balance of irregular expenditure that's in our books. We have noticed that in line with Treasury Note 4, some of the entities don't report on the balances. They will just tell us the irregular expenditure that they've incurred in the period, which is a problem because you'll find that the balances are much greater, but they don't disclose that information in the other information section of the annual report. Moving to the second department, we've got Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. This department did improve slightly from a qualified audit opinion in the previous financial year to an unqualified audit opinion with findings, basically on material statements on the annual performance reports that were submitted for audit, non-compliance with legislation, and the AG also did flag a material irregularity on various payments that were made. In terms of looking at some of the entities of this department, apologies, we've also included the financial information of the departments. So what budget were they allocated? How much did they spend of that budget? And what was the under or over expenditure? And we also zoomed into the irregular expenditure incurred by the departments in the current year, as well as the accrued balances, and the same for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We'll see that with most of the departments, they did underspend slightly. I think it was just one department. So I also don't want to zoom too much into the financial performance. We've just included it here so that members can get an idea of the spending patterns of the departments, unless the members would want me to go into detail about this financial information. For now, I think we'll just focus on the audit outcomes. When we look at the department's reporting entities, most of them once again did receive unqualified audit opinions in this period under review, with some entities improving to unqualified audit to unqualified without findings. The entity Frederik Dom World Heritage Site has not tabled their annual report in Parliament yet. But generally, once again, the recurring theme will be on non-compliance with legislation. Non-compliance with legislation, in most instances, the common themes are on expenditure management, on consequence management, as well as procurement and contract management for most of these entities, as well as the departments. This is also, once again, some of the entity financial information, where we can see that it was just one entity that ran a slight deficit in the period under review of about 70,000 rand. Irregular expenditure, as well as the fruitless expenditure as well, the patterns or the trend thereof. Going to the third department, which is Mineral, Energy and Resources. So this department did maintain an unqualified audit opinion with findings. And most of these findings were related to material misstatements on, you know, the selected programs and once again on compliance with legislation, particularly on expenditure management, revenue management, and consequence management, among others. So there was also reported previously reported material irregularity that had not yet been resolved. But even in this period, the AG still identified another material irregularity, which will only be included in the next year's audit reports because there's still consultations with the relevant authorities. In terms of the department's financial information, it's also detailed here. Maybe just to touch on the department's irregular expenditure in that period. They said that the wasteful expenditure mainly relates to the storage costs of the solar water program. And this department also does have an unauthorized expenditure balance that is under determination to the tune of 50.6 million. The reporting entities in this department mostly received unqualified audit opinions, with the exception of the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NECSA, which received a qualified audit opinion in the current year. The basis was basically on issues related to the decommissioning and decontamination, the way they accounted for investment income, and the finance costs. Notwithstanding this, the qualified audit opinion is a slight improvement from the disclaimer of opinion they received in the previous two financial years. Under this department, the reporting entity Central Energy Fund and Electrical Distribution have not tabled their annual reports in Parliament yet. And once again, if we look at the trend, there's usually always, you know, findings on non-compliance with legislation for most of the entities with the unqualified audit opinion with findings. The entity financial information is also showing that, you know, some of these departments did incur deficits in the current period. And yeah, I think it's Mintec, the one that went and ran quite a large irregular expenditure of about 17 million in the period under review. Just moving on to the next department, Digital Technologies, Communication and Digital Technologies. This department is also, once again, unqualified with findings pertaining to misstatements on the performance report, and then non-compliance with legislation, in particular on consequence management and the annual financial statements themselves. This department's financial information, they underspent by 106 million on their budget. And yeah, that's the department's financial information there. And when we look at the entities of this department, these are sort of the problematic entities. So the SABC and the Post Office received disclaimer audit opinions in the current financial year. With these departments, the AG also identified going concern issues. The other findings were related to non-compliance with legislation. The AG has identified material irregularities as well. With the South African Post Office, there was a host of areas of qualification or just the basis for the disclaimed audit opinion. So it's quite a long list of entities that did not, I mean, where the areas of disclaimer came from. Trade and other receivables, trade and other payables. So the AG had significant findings on the SABC. The State Information Technology Entity also received a qualified audit opinion for the third year running, mainly with findings on revenue from exchange transactions, the way they account for their cost of sales, and also there were findings on material misstatements on the performance information. USAF also received a qualified audit opinion from a disclaimer. And the basis of the qualification was basically on the way they account for inventories and inventory redemption and findings on non-compliance. And also, the AG did flag a material uncertainty relating to going concern. Here, there are entities that did receive unqualified audit opinions with no findings under this department, which is the Film Publication Board, National Electronic Media Institute, and Sentech. So they received clean audits in their under review. Here, we've also just reflected all the entity financial information. The SABC running a deficit of 1 billion, and the South African Post Office running a deficit of 2 billion. So those were significant deficits, and part of the reasons the AG raised a material, I mean, a going concern finding there. When we look at the Department of Human Settlements, in the current financial year, they maintained an unqualified audit opinion with findings on material non-compliance with legislation, in particular relating to expenditure and asset management. The department underspent their budget by 621 million, and most of the underspending was due to transfers and subsidies to provinces and municipalities, in particular the emergency housing grant, where the department reported that it did not receive requests for the remaining amounts on the grants. Majority of the entities in this department received unqualified audit opinions with material findings on non-compliance with legislation. However, the Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority and Thubelisha Homes received qualified audit opinions. There are also entities in this here that have not tabled their reports in Parliament as yet. So the basis of qualification for the PRA was mainly for receivables from non-exchange transactions. From exchange and non-exchange transactions, movements in allowances and credit losses. So here, mostly the AG was unable to, there was poor record keeping or unavailability of the necessary information enabling the AG to be able to confirm the figures that have been reported. Thubelisha Homes is also audited by independent auditors and not by the AG, and the basis of their qualification was on the valuation of their payables balance, that could not be confirmed due to inaccurate or improper record keeping. The bank balance could also not be confirmed because of the lack of, supporting documents, which was the same for the provisions balance as well. When we look into the entity, we've also presented the entity financial information. They all had surpluses reported in the periods under review. Some of them did incur irregular expenditure in the period, like the HDA with 371 million incurred in the current period and already having a balance that's greater than a billion. The next department is Department of Water and Sanitation. This department, once again, unqualified with no findings. And the entity financial information, it underspent, by about 861 million. And excuse me, the department has cited that the underspending was mostly due to payments for capital assets, where there was inadequate product project management, inadequate supervision of contractors, and the late identification of poor performance of contractors and protracted supply chain management processes. So it was under that item of payment for capital assets, and it still also has an unauthorized expenditure balance of 641 million from the 2016-17 financial year that's awaiting resolution by Parliament. In terms of the reporting entities, majority of them did receive unqualified audit opinions, with two entities' opinions being without, having material findings on non-compliance with legislation. Under this department, none of the water boards have tabled yet because the financial year end period is the end of June, so there are no annual reports yet for the water any of the water boards available. There's also some of the entity financial information here, with most of all of the entities having surpluses in the period under review. The next department will be Trade, Industry and Competition. The DTIC has maintained unqualified audit opinion without findings in this current financial year. The department's financial information, it just underspent by 115 million. There's no irregular expenditure in the current year, nor any balance, as well as reckless and wasteful expenditure as per the financial statements and annual reports. The reporting entities under this department, they predominantly received unqualified audit opinions, with the exception of the National Lotteries Commission, which received yet another unqualified audit opinion, and the basis of the qualification was on the allocation of grants. There were also findings under the National Lotteries Commission on non-compliance with legislation, material misstatements on the performance information of selected programs, and a material irregularity was also identified in the period under review. Looking at the entity financial information, majority of them did incur surpluses in the period under review, with the exception of the National Energy Fund, which ran a deficit of 345 million. The NEF is also not audited by the AG's independent auditors that audit that institution. And we also had instances of some where they don't disclose accurately the balances of the irregular and fruitless expenditure. They just disclose what they incurred in the current period, but you can't track the rest of the irregular expenditure on their books. Looking at the Department of Small Business Development, it received an unqualified audit opinion with no material findings. The department also only underspent by about 19 million in the period under review, and it's due to a vacancy rate of 10%, as well as underspending on payments for capital assets due to orders for ministerial vehicles and department buggies not being delivered before the financial year end. The two reporting entities under this department received unqualified opinions with material findings, and for the Small Enterprise Finance Agency, this was a regression from an unqualified opinion with no findings in the previous financial year. So findings related to non-compliance with legislation and foresee that it was the misstatements on the performance information provided. Looking at the entity financial information, CIFA did run a deficit of about 223 million in the period under review. The next department is the Department of Tourism. It maintained an unqualified audit opinion with findings on non-compliance with legislation. This department underspent by about 29 million in the period under review, and it's within compensation of employees due to staff turnover and the slow filling of posts, which is the recurring theme across most departments. It also incurred a large irregular expenditure of about 4.7 million in the current financial year due to non-compliance with supply chain management procedures and human resource processes. The entity under this department is South African Tourism. It received an unqualified audit opinion with non-compliance on legislation. And the entity also ran a deficit in the current, in the period under review. Now the next cluster is the Justice and Protection Services cluster, starting with the Department of Correctional Services, which also maintained unqualified audit opinion with findings on non-compliance with legislation. This department underspent by about 107 million in the period under review. And it also incurred irregular expenditure of 194 million in the current financial year, mainly on account of procurement done through price quotations where contracts were not in place. It also has an unauthorized expenditure balance of about 121,000 from the 2015-16 financial year. I think it's also under determination by Parliament. We've got the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense received a third consecutive qualified audit opinion, with the basis of the qualification being on the completeness of movable tangible capital assets, irregular expenditure, as well as goods and services and investments. There were also findings on material misstatements on the annual performance report, as well as non-compliance with legislation that's related to expenditure management and consequence management, among others. The AG also did identify material irregularity, which include, among others, medical equipment procured at two military hospitals that were not utilized. The department's financial information: this department did overspend on its budget by almost 3 billion, and the department cited the reason for that being due to an underfunding of the compensation of employees. So as a result, this department incurred an unauthorized expenditure in terms of Section 34 of the PFMA. The department also did incur irregular expenditure of 554 million caused by non-compliance with SCM laws and regulations, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 2.6 million. In terms of the reporting entities here, they received unqualified audit opinions with findings on non-compliance with legislation. They did run surpluses, but they did incur irregular expenditure in the period under review. Looking at Justice and Constitutional Development, this department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings, which is a slight improvement from the qualified audit opinion in the previous financial year. And the findings were on the performance information of the selected programs and non-compliance with legislation. This department underspent by about 227 million in the period under review. And once again, due to vacant posts in some of the programs, as well as vacant magistrates' posts, they did incur irregular expenditure in the current year relating to the appointment of counsel by state attorney offices. And in terms of the reporting entities of this department, the legal aid received an unqualified audit opinion with no findings. However, the special investigating unit received a qualified audit opinion in the current financial year, representing quite a regression from the unqualified audit opinion with no material findings that the SIU has maintained over the past 6 financial years. The basis of the qualification was a significant overstatement of the recovery of legal and expert costs. There was also findings on non-compliance with legislation. In terms of the entity financial information, they had surpluses in the period under review. Legal Aid SA did incur irregular expenditure in the current period. Now looking at the Department of Police, so SAPS maintained an unqualified audit opinion with findings on material misstatements in the financial performance, as well as non-compliance with legislation relating to expenditure management, consequence management, as well as procurement and contract management. The department underspent by 55 million in the period under review, and they incurred an irregular expenditure of 186 million. Majority which of which was caused by non-compliance with the preferential procurement regulation, where subcontracting was not stipulated in the bid invitation or bid documents. The irregular, the wasteful, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure was predominantly on license fee penalties. Looking at the reporting entity, which is Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, it received an unqualified with non-compliance on with findings on non-compliance with legislation. The next department, we're looking at the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service, which received unqualified audit opinion with no findings. So it got a clean audit in this period. It maintained a clean audit in this period and underspent by 3 million. Once again, due to vacant posts or vacancies that couldn't be filled, they identified that the post of the Secretary for Police was one of the main vacancies that they could not fill in the period under review. There's an unauthorized expenditure balance of 5.7 million awaiting decision by Parliament. Looking at the IPED, the department received its first its first unqualified audit opinion with no findings for the period under review, which is an improvement from the previous period. The department underspent by about 4.5 million, and it was due to the delayed filling of posts once again. It has an unauthorized expenditure balance of 891,000 that was incurred in 2005, 2006, and 2008, 2009 financial years, awaiting decision by Parliament. The Department of Military Veterans has not tabled their annual report in Parliament yet, and they did table or submit a letter of delay, which was tabled in Parliament. They did attribute this to instability in senior management, coupled with the lack of a duly appointed audit committee. Looking at the Department of Home Affairs, the department maintained an unqualified audit opinion with findings on non-compliance with legislation, mainly related to revenue management. This non-compliance resulted in likely financial loss, and a material irregularity has been issued and is under assessment. The department's reporting entity, Border Management Authority, has also not tabled the annual report in Parliament yet, and there was no letter submitted. The department underspent by 698 million in the period under review, mainly due to the late receipt of funding for the designation project, digitization project, sorry. They also identified that the late receipt of the 300 million for presented political parties fund, which was received on the last day of the financial year, as well as the delayed filling of posts, which also contributed to the underspending. They did incur irregular expenditure of about 32.9 million, which includes, among others, 12.9 million for the automated biometric identification system, contract and the procurement of accessories for mobile vehicles procured without necessary approval. As indicated, Border Management Trading Authority has not tabled. Looking at the Office of the Chief Justice, OCJ reverted to an unqualified audit opinion with no material findings, an improvement from an audit opinion with findings in the previous year. And the OCJ underspent by 160.5.6 million in the period under review, largely on compensation of employees and due to receiving additional funding from the National Treasury. The late receipt of the additional funding, coupled with protracted process of filling vacancies. They incurred irregular expenditure of about 69.5 million due to non-compliance with supply chain management and State Information Technology Agency prescripts. Looking at the social services cluster, we've got the Department of Social Development, which obtained an unqualified audit opinion with no findings in the current financial year. Notwithstanding this, the AG did flag a material irregularity during the auditing process relating to assets required acquired at prices higher than market value. So the department underspent by 6 billion in this current period, and they attributed that to the Social Relief of Distress, which is the SRD grant, as a result of the changes in the means to test the qualifying criteria to the beneficiary applications. The irregular expenditure incurred in this period was about 18.2 million. This is one of the departments also that didn't disclose the reconciliation, so we're unable to obtain the balances of the irregular expenditure as well as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There's an unauthorized expenditure balance of 15.1 billion awaiting determination by Parliament. In terms of the reporting agencies under this department, SASSA is the one that got an that maintained an unqualified audit opinion with findings on misstatements as well as non-compliance with legislation, while the National Development Agency did improve to a clean audit in this financial year. Entity financial information, where SASSA did incur more irregular expenditure in this current period. And yeah, moving on to the next cluster, which is the financial and administration services cluster, we've got the Department of Public Service and Administration. The DPSA did regress to an unqualified audit opinion with findings from a clean audit in the previous financial year. This was mainly due to performance information, misstatements that were found in that performance information of those programs. There was an underspending of 34 million in this current year, mainly due to compensation of employees, where there were 67 unfilled vacant posts throughout the department, of which 19 are senior management service posts. The department also still has an unauthorized expenditure of 8.8 million incurred in 2013-14, which is awaiting determination by Parliament. Then we have the National School of Government, which maintained a clean audit in the current year. They also underspent by about 11 million, largely on account of compensation of employees due to vacancies in key areas of delivery. Looking at the central government and central government administration cluster, we've got the Department of Corporative Governance. They maintained an unqualified a qualified audit opinion, apologies. Even in the period under review, the basis of the qualification was on movable tangible capital assets as well as goods and services. The AGSA also had material findings on the performance information of the selected programs, as well as non-compliance with legislation relating to expenditure management, asset management, performance management, procurement, and contract management, among others that were also identified. This department underspent its budget by about 4 billion. This was largely on account of transfers and subsidies related to procurement issues on the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant. non-compliance of municipal infrastructure grant with the Division of Revenue Act and administrative processes of the disaster relief grant. Irregular expenditure in this period of about 475 million was attributed to irregularities in the community work program contract for implementing agents and expenses incurred without valid contracts. This department also does have an unauthorized expenditure balance of 1.1 million awaiting regularizing by Parliament. In terms of the entities, SALGA received a clean audit or maintained a clean audit in the period under review. And it's one of the entities that also didn't disclose the irregular expenditure balance as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure balance. The presidency received another clean audit in the period under review. There was an underspending of about 77 million, largely attributed to compensation of employees as well as goods and services due to outstanding invoices that were not received at year end, among others. Looking at the GCIS, received an unqualified audit opinion with no findings, which is an improvement from a qualified audit opinion with findings in the previous financial year. The department underspent by about 5.7 million in the period under review because there were salary negotiations that were not finalized, as well as the attrition of staff, especially senior managers. The irregular expenditure incurred of about 7 million in the period under review includes media buying communication campaigns of client departments that are not funded from the GCIS voted funds. There's an unauthorized expenditure balance of 4.4 million, which is awaiting resolution by Parliament. In terms of the reporting entities, the Media Development and Diversity Agency regressed to a qualified audit opinion with the basis of the qualification being on administration expenses, on the cash flow statement, an understatement of the operational commitments, and there was also a finding on compliance with legislation, while REN SA improved to a clean audit in this current financial year. Both entities did run deficits in the period under review. Now looking at the DPME, it maintained a clean audit in the period under review. The department underspent by 38.7 million in the period under review, and it's still one of the recurring results. It's got to do mostly with compensation of employees. There was also an underspending on goods and services, and this was attributed to a non-responsive bids and bidders that failed to meet the minimum qualification criteria. Then we have the Public Service Commission, which maintained a clean audit in the year under review, and it underspent by 16.6 million, mainly due to vacant posts, which included the post of the commissioner. The Department of Traditional Affairs maintained a clean audit in the period under review. It underspent by about 5.6 million. And it's also the same reason as with the other departments on compensation of employees. It does have an unauthorized expenditure balance of 2.3 million, which was incurred during the 2014-15 financial year, awaiting resolution by Parliament. And then we have, I think, the last department here, which is Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, which maintained an unqualified audit opinion with material findings on non-compliance with legislation, mainly related to consequence management. This department underspent on their budget by about 8.4 million in the period under review. And they also incurred irregular expenditure of about 719 million due to an award of a bid that was not approved by the delegated official. There's also an unauthorized expenditure balance of 32.8 million awaiting determination by Parliament. In terms of the entities, the NYTA maintained a clean audit in the year after under review. The entity also did, however, run a deficit in the current financial year. Honorable members, that brings me to the end of all the departments and reporting entities under Group 2. So in conclusion, for this current financial year, the most common finding was on non-compliance with applicable legislation, in particular annual financial statements, expenditure management, which includes non-prevention of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, procurement and contract management, as well as consequence management. Material misstatements identified on the financial performance information was another common finding in this current financial year. All these findings highlight that there are significant weaknesses in the implementation of adequate internal controls by management, which has a detrimental impact on public finances. It's worth noting that National Treasury Instruction Note 4 also had a significant impact on the financial reporting in the current financial year, because there were departments and public entities that didn't fully comply. So they need to duly familiarize themselves with the compliance and reporting framework of this instruction note, given that a number of them failed to comply fully with its prescripts. That will be the end of my presentation. Thank you, Honorable Members, and thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Rita, for that presentation. I think let's go to Amanda, and then we will take questions simultaneously. Thank you very much, Tabula, for that. Amanda,
Thank
over
you.
to you.
Okay. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and colleagues. Let me just show proof of life before I start doing the presentation.
I feel so much under pressure now that I don't do proof of life, but it's me. All right. Proceed, Amanda. Thanks. Sure.
Honorable members, I'll be presenting the audit outcomes for all the national departments and public entities that are in Group 1. So I've also grouped the departments into clusters, and I'm going to start with the, well, I'm going to start discussing the central government administration cluster, followed by the economic services and infrastructure development cluster, and then the financial and administration services cluster, and then I'll wrap up with the departments and public entities in the social services cluster. So for the first department under the central government administration cluster is the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. So the department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings in the 2022-23 financial year. The findings are on non-compliance with legislation relating to expenditure management, consequence management, procurement, and contract management, as well as revenue management. The key thing I want to highlight, honorable members, in the department's financial information is the unauthorized expenditure of 818.2 million, which has been submitted to the National Treasury for recommendation to the committee. And the I also want to highlight the high irregular expenditure closing balance of 3.4 billion, which emanates mainly from non-compliance with supply chain management prescripts. And then the departmental entity maintained an unqualified audit outcome with no findings for the last three financial years. And then the second department is Stats SA. Stats SA, honorable members, also received an unqualified audit opinion with findings on non-compliance with legislation. I just want to bring to your attention as well that Stats SA spent 798.2 million more than its final allocated budget at the end of the financial year. So the explanation is that this the explanation is that the overspending is which resulted in unauthorized expenditure is as a result of the overspending on the Census 2022 project, which overlapped into the 2022-23 financial year. The unauthorized expenditure closing balance, honorable members, is now increased to 980 million. And it also includes the 172 million unauthorized expenditure, which was recommended by the National Treasury to the Committee for Funding as a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund, or as funds allocated to the department for future years. The next department is the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. The audit outcomes of the department also remain stagnant for the past three financial years. The Auditor General South Africa identified material findings on the annual performance report, as well as non-compliance with legislation. And under financial performance, the department also has an unauthorized expenditure of 255 million, which is under review by the National Treasury. The National Treasury is yet to submit this recommendation to the committee. And then in terms of the departmental entities, the key issues to highlight, honorable members, is that the Independent Development Trust received a qualified audit opinion, which remained unchanged from the 2021-22 financial year, as you can see in the table, despite an improvement from the disclaimer opinion in the 2020-21 financial year. So the AG also raised material uncertainty relating to the entity's going concern. According to Note 21 to the financial statements, it shows that the entity's projected cash flows for the year ending 31 March 2024, the entity expects to spend more money than it anticipates receiving. So the situation will significantly reduce the amount of cash the entity has on hand. And then also, honorable members, of significant to highlight is the department's property management trading entity, which received a qualified audit outcome for the 2022-23 financial year, though an improvement from the disclaimer opinion in 2021-22. The AG highlighted a number of qualification areas, which include, among others, payables from exchange transactions. We have payables from exchange transactions, which is accrued expenses, leases, and revenue from exchange transactions relating to accommodation charges. And I also want to bring to your attention the 1.5 billion deficit realized by the property management trading entity in the 2022-23 financial year. The trading entity also made a loss in the previous financial year of 1.6 billion. And then moving on to the Economic Services and Infrastructure Development Cluster, the first department is the Department of Transport. The Department of Transport did not table its 2022-23 annual report and financial statements. The executive authority submitted a written explanation in terms of Section 65(2) of the PFMA, requesting an extension to end of October 2023. And then in terms of the departmental entities, the PRASA and the Rail Safety Regulator, as well as the Road Accident Fund, Road Traffic Infringement Agency, and the South African Maritime Safety Authority, have also not tabled their annual reports and financial statements. And the executive authority has also submitted written explanations. And for PRASA, in the letter indicates that the Auditor General of South Africa is still auditing the annual financial statements, and that the audit report will be finalized by the 20 October 2023. And then the Safety Railway Regulator The AG informed the safety regulator on the 31st of July that it is unable to submit the audit report within the prescribed time frame. This is mainly due to complexities surrounding the consideration of a finalized National Treasury investigation report that was provided to the AG. So, according to the AG, this has, according to the AG, this has, this report has potential implications in terms of the Railway Safety Regulator's financial statements and the AG's audit opinion. For the RAF, the executive authority indicated that a letter that the RAF indicated that the RAF is experiencing challenges in the finalization of the 2022 audit, and it has emerged that the RAF audit it has emerged that the RAF audit it has sorry it has emerged that during the RAF audit certain disagreements arose between the auditor general and the audit team. So regarding and the audit team regarding the material procurement findings. So the RAF has duly followed the escalation process with regards to the audit and met with the auditor general's business unit to resolve these differences with regards to the audit. And then for the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, the delays in the finalization of the audit were as a result of discussions between Auditor General and the management around issues pertaining to the agency's assets and liabilities. And then lastly, the South African Maritime Safety Authority written explanation indicated that the authority experienced a cyber attack on the 16th of April 2023, which impacted the entire SET environment. So, due to the cyber attack, the submission of the 2022-23 audit financial statements and the annual report to the Executive Authority and the National Treasury, as well as Parliament, are delayed. And then, lastly, honorable members, in terms of the entities that submitted these, the Air Traffic and Navigation Services, the Airports Company South Africa, the Cross Border Transport Agency, Ports Regulator of South Africa, Road Traffic Management Corporation, and the South African Civil Aviation Authority, as well as SANRAL. And none of them have received disclaimer or qualified audit outcomes for the 2022-23 financial year. As you can see on the table, they received unqualified audit opinions, some with findings and others without. And then moving on to the Financial Administration Services cluster. Honorable members, the National Treasury received a qualified audit opinion with a qualification on fruitless and wasteful expenditure from the AG for the current financial year. In its audit outcome, as you can see, it has not improved from the 2021-22 financial year. So, just to bring some context into the matter, in the last financial year, honorable members, the National Treasury did not disclose fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the financial statements. This is in relation to the payments for the technical support and maintenance on licenses for the IFMS, for which no value was derived. So this resulted in a qualified opinion in the prior year as well. And then in the 2022-23 financial year, the National Treasury, as Uri Tablet indicated, did issue instruction note number 4 of 2022-23 with a revised framework on the reporting of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So according to this framework, the revised framework, the department is now required to disclose on the financial statements, the expenditure incurred in the current year, as well as the prior year comparative amounts. So the misstatement remains unresolved for the Treasury, and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure comparative amount is consequently understated by 68 million. And then, in terms of the entities, the Land Bank and the Public Investment Corporation received unqualified audit opinions with findings on non-compliance with legislation from the AG. And for the Land Bank, the AG also raised material uncertainty relating to the going concern. So, towards the end of April 2020, the bank experienced a liquidity shortfall, which resulted in the bank defaulting some of its obligations. Now, this shortfall triggered a cross default and resulted in a de facto standstill on capital and interest payments to its funders. And the liability solution to cure the default is still in progress, and the finalization is actually dependent on the signing of the commitment agreements with lenders. The Cooperative Banks Development Agency and the South African Special Risk Insurance Association did not table their 2022-23 annual reports and financial statements. And the rest of the departmental entities received unqualified opinions with no findings. And then the following department is the Department of Public Enterprises. The department received audit outcome received the audit outcome for the department for the 2022 financial year is unqualified, and the findings are on the annual performance report and non-compliance with legislation. As you can see, honorable members, the department's audit outcomes have remained stagnant for the last three financial years. Moving on to the departmental entities, only two of the departmental entities tabled their annual reports. This is the South African Forestry Company as well as Transnet. Both these entities received unqualified audit opinions with findings for the 2022-23 financial year. And the findings with non-compliance with legislation is common between the two. The entities that did not table their annual reports did submit written, the executive authority did submit written explanations. And under ELESCO, the executive indicated that the 2023 external audit will be finalized at the end of October, and the AGM will soon hold is the AGM will be held soon thereafter. And then under Danel, they indicated that the audit will only be finalized in November 2023. And Eskom, the external auditors have identified some matters that still need further investigations. And hence, Eskom anticipates that the annual financial statements will be finalized during October 2023. And then and for SAA, it has indicated that the audit began later than they had expected, and they may only finalize after their outstanding audits for the previous financial years are completed. And then in terms of the financial performance, I would just like to bring to your attention the Transnet loss for the year ended, amounting to 5.7 billion. This is a deterioration from the 5 billion profit they recorded in the 2021-22 financial year. The deteriorated performance largely results from severe operational problems on the railways. This includes a critical shortage on locomotives. And then moving on to the social services cluster, the first department is the Department of Basic Education, and it received an unqualified audit opinion with material findings on the annual performance report, as well as a non-compliance with key legislation from the HG. The audit outcomes have also remained stagnant for the past 3 years. The entity has been receiving unqualified audit outcomes with findings. And then the department's reporting entities received unqualified audit opinions with findings from independent auditors
for the current year in review. The audit outcomes for the South African Council for Educators remained stagnant for the 3 years. And then for uMalusi, the outcome regressed from the prior years, unqualified with no findings. And then, honorable members, the Department of Higher Education and Training also received an unqualified audit opinion with material findings on the annual performance report from the Auditor General. The audit outcomes also remained stagnant for the past 3 years. So most of the departmental entities received qualified audit outcomes for the year in the review under the department. This includes the banking education sector, the construction education and training authority, education training and development practices, health and welfare sector, and then the insurance sector education and training authority, the manufacturing, engineering and related services sector education, the National Skills Fund, the services sector education and training authority, as well as the Transport Education Authority. And the qualification areas for some of these, for instance, the National Skill Fund includes the skills development funding and provisions. And then also to highlight is that the National Skills Fund audit outcomes have improved since the 2021-20 since the 2020-21 disclaimer. But despite this, it is still a qualified audit opinion. And then the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and the Local Government Sector Education and Training Authority, they have not tabled their annual reports and financial statements. So in the written submission from the executive authority, they've indicated that for the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, the 2021-22 audit was concluded on the 31 July 2023, and the report has been reviewed by the AG. The 2021-22 audit report will be presented to the board and its committees during the meeting scheduled in October 2023. And then the 2021-22 annual report will be shared with the minister. The 2022-23 annual report is to be submitted to the AG in January 2024, after which the audit will commence. And hence, they anticipate to conclude the 2022-23 audit by 31 May 2024. And then the local government sector education and training authority, they've indicated that the reason for not submitting the annual report and financial statements, it's because it raised concerns about the audit process and some discrepancies in their general ledger. So to address this, the AG had a meeting with the entity and decided that both the AG and the authority management team should meet, review the issues with all necessary evidence. And then moving on to the Department of Employment and Labour, the department received an unqualified audit outcome and findings on non-compliance with legislation for the 2022 and 23 financial year. And the audit outcomes also remained stagnant for the past 3 years. And then for the department's reporting entities, and so for the department's reporting entities, the NEDLAG and Productivity SA received unqualified audit outcomes with findings, and then the CCMA received unqualified with no findings. And as you can see on the table, the NEDLAG and Productivity SA maintained
Stagnant audit outcomes for the three financial years under review. The compensation fund and the unemployment insurance fund did not table their 2020-2023 annual reports to Parliament, and their 2021-22 audits are also still outstanding. For the compensation fund, the audit for the 2022-23 financial year has not resumed. The fund indicates that the reason for the delay is as a result of the and it's as a result of the audited the outstanding 2022 financial audit. So they need that to ensure accuracy and completeness for the 2023 financial statements. And then the UIF, the Unemployment Insurance Fund annual report, the 21-22 annual report is also still outstanding, and the auditing of the financial statements and performance information has now been completed. And the fund indicates that they still need to put all the audited financial statements, the performance information, and other necessary sections together to create the final annual report for the 2022-23 financial year. So, moving on to the Department of Health, the department received an unqualified audit opinion with material findings on the annual performance plan, as well as non-compliance with key legislation from the AG. As you can see, the department's audit outcome improved from the prior year's qualified audit opinion. And then in terms of the entities, the South African Medical Research Council, as well as the Mines and Works Compensation Fund and the Office of Health Standards Compliance constantly achieved unqualified with no findings audit of opinions, that's clean audits for the past three financial years, while the Council for Medical Schemes received and the National Health Laboratory Services received unqualified unqualified audit opinions with findings for the 2022-23 financial year. The South African Health Products Regulatory Authority's audit opinion improved from a qualified audit in 2020-21 to an unqualified opinion with findings for the 21-22 and 2022-23 financial years. And then the next department is the Department of Science and Innovation. The department received an unqualified audit opinion with no findings. It's been maintaining its audit outcome for the three financial years. Most of the department's entities also received unqualified audit opinions with no findings for the 2022-23 financial year. But the HRSC and the Technology Innovation Agency received unqualified audit opinions with material findings related to non-compliance with legislation. And you can see the HRC's audit opinion also improved from the previous year's qualified opinion, and the Technology Innovation Agency's audit outcome regressed from unqualified with no findings to unqualified with findings. And then the next department is the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. The department also received an unqualified audit opinion with material findings on the annual performance report, as well as non-compliance with key legislation relating to transfers of funds and consequence management. And the audit outcomes of the department have also remained stagnant for the past three financial years. So, as seen on the table, honorable members, most of the department's entities received unqualified audit outcomes and material findings related to non-compliance with legislation. The National Library received The National Library of South Africa received a qualified audit opinion for the 2022-23 financial year. This has been constant since 2020-21. And then the Robben Island, Museum and the South African Library for the Blind. Their audits have regressed from unqualified with no findings in 2020-21 to unqualified with findings in both the 2021-22 and 2022-23 financial years. And this is just a list of some of the, this is just an entities that have received qualified audit of unqualified audit opinions with no findings, that is clean audits. And that, honorable members, brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Thank you very so much. Thank you very much, Amanda. Colleagues, I think we've received the two presentations. Can we go to questions of clarity? I think this sets us in good stead for the 29th, and we'll have meaningful engagements with the AG. I think the guidance also was given suffices. Colleagues, please just, if you want to raise a question, indicate now. Going once, going twice, going thrice.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay, Babu Somyo.
Well, mine is not, it's not necessarily a question, it's just a comment on the work which has been done on these departments and entities, which I think that we are better off in as far as the thoroughness of the analysis of these outcomes. It's clear for me that they travel within the area, which is a visibly, if you make your own assessment, some level of improvement here and there. And there is a question that relates to materiality, which goes in a gross sense in some instances, which I would need an eye which is going to trick into depth in as far as the causal factors in as far as such a materiality is concerned, which would be the case now, in terms of prioritization, where in would be able to have a specific focus on key areas which are going to assist in instilling a sense of improvement and accountability. But the team which was doing this kind of work, I think we need to appreciate the outcome, and it's clearly has gone into the AG's analytic exercise on these audit outcomes. The worrisome factor is a factor which is on the late submissions and letters which are written to the speaker for extensions. And at times there's a visible limitless of time in terms of observation on such. And if you look into the occurrence in years, you'd find out that those who absent themselves from submissions, they end up in the doldrums. You see of history in terms of their own existence, which is something that the parliamentary committees, including ourselves, will not need to observe in a way, so that we can be able to lump those and see the progress getting forward. When you're talking about the post office, you're talking about SAA, you're talking about the areas which are bedeviling the functions in the SABC scope, and all those kinds of institutions, you would find out the cumulative occurrence in as far as non-observation of accountability is concerned. Otherwise, thank you very much for a good outline, which I want to appreciate and record. Thank you very much, Chair.
Babusome, thank you very much. Any other comments and questions before we go back to the team, if there's any reaction they want to give? Okay, I think all right, I think all right. Amanda, Letabile, any reaction you have on what Babusome has said, are you fine?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Somia. Yes, we've also on separately, maybe it's something that we'll submit, identified recommendations for prioritization, looking at the repeat offenders, the ones that have also received disclaimers with significant areas of disclaimer, the ones that have received qualifications with significant areas of qualification. So we already from each group have those recommendations of the entities of priority based on those some of those aspects that Honorable Somia has raised. But other than that, it's just thank you for the opportunity to present to the committee.
Okay, thank you very much, Amanda. You're fine.
Thank you, Chair and Honorable Somia. Oritabile has just touched on what I wanted to touch on, but I just want to say thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, and it has really given us a broad perspective on the issues that the departments are generally facing. And I think also in our briefs going forward, it will enable us to be more in detail. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you very much, colleagues. I think we will then take the matters forward. Babusome, you will let us know of the meeting of the 29th for us to receive formally from the AG those matters. And I think we will be in a better position to ask informed questions, given the background that we have now. Just a few announcements, colleagues. The secretariat will email the members the unauthorized expenditure resolutions for members' input today. So we need your suggestions in terms of how to handle each of the transactions. The department has submitted, and I've asked that submission of theirs be forwarded to you. Public Service and Administration done the same. We are still awaiting National Treasury on the RMTC and the Parliamentary Budget Office on those issues that they raised. And then we are still asking National Treasury to submit to us the proposals in terms of their recommendations, wherein they say some of the monies must come from the government's departments in terms of what that would look like for the projections of the MTF. So as and when information around those arrives, we'll send it through. And then next week, we are going to be receiving a presentation. I mean, we're meeting with Eskom on the committee's recommendations and updates. Next week, we were supposed to meet with SAA, but they've got their ATM. So we maneuvered the program. So SAA will now appear on the 14th because next week they've got their ATM. And then on the 8th of November, we are dealing with the medical legal claims by the AG. It's a briefing by the AG. So those are the matters. And then we finally, colleagues, just we will also check the whatchamacallit. The programming committee may be scheduling some of our outstanding reports in due course. So as in the many plenaries that are being scheduled virtually. So our reports may not necessarily go to the House directly. They will go via many plenaries and will just go for decision in the whatchamacallit in the House. So as soon as those dates come through, I will advise accordingly as to when they are scheduling them for us, the outstanding reports. So that's all, colleagues, from my side. Thank you very much to the team. Happy Tuesday. Be safe and God bless. Nisekhona.
Yeah, goodbye, Chair.
Okay, all right, sure. Thanks then.
Sikhona.
Bye all. Get to
Okay, bye.
Nkululmanget. Sure,
Yeah, goodbye.
bye.
Bye.
Sikhona, sikhona. Good chair. Thank
Sure,
you.
thanks, colleagues. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, bye, colleagues. Bye.